and welcome to the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley with here with you as usual for all of your Sunday sporting action. We've got Women's Six Nations, Formula One and Gaelic Games all coming up for you on this evening's show. If you want to get in touch with me here in the studio, we are at Big Red Bench on X. Give us a shout. But in the meantime, let's get into it. We are starting with Gaelic Games, where Cork have suffered an away loss to Meath in the Little Ladies National Football League this afternoon. The final scoreline was Meath 2-14 to Cork 1-7. There are five games down for decision in the Women's Super League today. It finished nil-all between Everton and Liverpool, while Bristol City lost 1-0 to Tottenham. Elsewhere, Brighton prevailed by 3-2 in their clash with Leicester City, and Chelsea are currently 1-0 up against West Ham with just over 70 minutes played. In the final game of the day, Aston Villa will be up against Arsenal, and that is at 7:30. In the Women's Six Nations, Italy hosted England in the final game of the first round of this year's championship. At full-time in Parma, England won 48-0, but were reduced to 13 players after an early red card and a late yellow. To Formula One now, where Max Verstappen's dominance of the 2024 season has stalled, with Ferrari's Carlos Sainz winning the Australian Grand Prix earlier today. The world champion retired from the race with an early brake failure in Melbourne. Sainz Ferrari teammate Charles Leclerc was second, with McLaren's Lando Norris completing the podium. In golf, Seamus Power is in contention to win the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. He tees off in his final round in Florida in a tie for second place on 8 under par, which is two shots behind leader Keith Mitchell. The Waterford man has just teed off for that final round. Finally, to basketball, and in the quarterfinals of the InsureMyVan.ie Super League playoff, UCC Demons have clashed with Belfast Star. That game tipped off at 4 p.m. and it is Belfast Star who currently hold a narrow lead. Elsewhere in the MissQuote.ie Champions Trophy playoff quarterfinals, Gronenbrocher Credit Union Brunel came from behind in the second half to take victory over the Address UCC Glanmire. Let's start with that Cork LGFA result against Meath today. It has certainly been a tough year so far for the Cork ladies, and unfortunately this result does mean that they will be relegated from Division 1 senior inter-county football. But the Echo's Rory Noonan spoke to Cork boss Shane Ronayne after the game to get his thoughts.
Shane, obviously not the result you wanted today, but in fairness, those girls gave it everything out there.
Yeah, look, they tried very hard, Rory, I suppose. Look, our last few days we've been very good defensively, and we felt if we kind of upped our scoring rate, we had actually set ourselves a target of about 10 or 12 points. We actually got that, but defensively we aren't as good today. We're disappointed with that. But look, there's players out there trying very hard. Whatever happened today, we were going to be depending on a lot of things. So we're disappointed. But look, we've 4 weeks now to the championship. Hopefully a couple of the injuries clear up. Rachel Lee, he got the all clear during the week. And that's a bit of a boost, and hopefully we can be, listen, we have to improve. There's no hiding or beating around the bush, we have to improve.
As you said, there was times in this game today, that there are areas showing that you are improving and maybe you can take a small bit of confidence going into Munster Championship. I know it's not ideal in any way, but a small bit of championship from some of their displays the last 2 days.
Yeah, look, I would have been fairly happy with the first half. We went in a point up. The penalty miss was a killer. We would have put us 4 points up, and they go up the field and they get a point, and they actually get a goal then with the next kick out. So instead of us going four up, we're gone three down. And to a team that, I suppose, no matter what you're doing with them, they're harsh on themselves, and their confidence is low because they're not winning matches, and losing becomes a habit. So it's very hard to break that cycle. So I suppose when that 6-7 point swing happened, the heads went down a bit. But look, they battled hard. We got every player in our squad now has played in the league, apart from Dermot Creed, our third choice goalie. Everybody else has played. So look, we've got time into them. It's just disappointing. But look, we'll battle on. The girls are good. The good and honest, they'll keep working hard. And hopefully in 4 weeks' time, you'll see a different Cork in the Munster Championship.
obviously you said that you have, the penalty was really, I suppose, the turning point when it came to this match. As you said there, that swing was a killer really, and from there, like, you were up against it really.
Yeah, look, we should have gone four up, and as I said, they levelled it and then they got a goal for the next kick out. That killed it, like, you know. And I think, you know, you got 4 points up there, you know, the confidence is flowing again. It was like, it was a very positive dressing at half time, you know. We were winning at half time. We haven't been winning at half time in a long time since, it's actually, I think, since the first
after
game.
A very good first half.
You know, a very good first half, you know, got a great goal, worked hard, and, you know, and Sives stuck it very well. But look, there's positives there, but there's a lot of work we need to do, and we need to get better at lots of things. We're a bit better offensively today, and defensively we weren't as good, so we just got to marry the two. And look, we'll keep working. These girls are working very hard, the managers are working very hard, a lot of time and energy being put into it by everybody. So, you know, people outside the camp probably don't see that. They're looking at the results and thinking, what the hell is going on? And I suppose sometimes we wonder that ourselves, but look, we're all trying very hard, we're working very hard, and look, hopefully we can be better in 4 weeks time.
Obviously, said the Munster Championship is not that far away. 4 weeks, it's going to be, you know, it's a short enough time to try and turn this around, but obviously you said a lot of work will have to be done now off the pitch between now and then.
Yeah, look, I think we have a lot of work to do on different things, but look, we have 4 weeks to do it. You know, if it was coming around next week, you know, you'd be worried, but 4 good weeks into us now, we play Waterford. Surely we have a big day in us against Waterford after what happened in the league. You know, no, we do have to travel down there, so that's, you know, that's going to be tough. But look, I'd have every confidence that we can turn this around. And you know, I keep saying it. Look, last year's Division 2 final in the men's was contested by Derry and Dublin. I don't know how the results went today. They'll probably be in Division 1 final next week. Monaghan had a great men's team in division, back down the division. Well, look, Galway are going to be in trouble probably in this grade. Not a big All Ireland contender. It's cutthroat, and we've a lot of players learning on the job, so we're suffering. But look, we'll keep battling on.
I suppose the positive, to finish on a positive, Shane, there's a lot of young players out there. They've got a lot of game time in it now. The future is bright. It may be down at the moment, but there's definitely a bright future for Cork with so many talented young players coming through.
Yeah, look at it. We don't want to be in Division 2, but maybe Division 2 can help these players, you know, gain a bit of confidence. And, you know, trying to cut your teeth as a young player in Division 1 is very, very hard. It's a huge step up from minor. You know, I think they're beginning to realise that now. Like, you know, it was minor game is a different game. And there isn't that bridge of under 20 or anything like that in between the two for them to, I suppose, to cut their teeth at it. But look, I think the young players that are there are very good. Look, we brought on 2 minors today, like, and you know, they did very well there last week at training. So there's plenty positives there. But look, it's disappointing. But look, we'll dust ourselves down. Our season isn't going to be defined by a league. And I think at the end of the year, there wasn't going to be too many talking about who won the league or who's playing, who's won the Division 2 league or who's down in the leagues. We'll only start worrying about that again next you know, January and February. At the moment, look, it's done now. Today wasn't going to define it. We could have won today and still gone down. So I suppose that's the reality of it. We're disappointed, but look, we'll dust ourselves down and we'll go again.
Let's look back now at Cork's draw with Armagh yesterday in their Allianz Football League Division 2 clash. It finished 2 goals and 16 points apiece at Super Value Park Eaquive after added time. And Joe McCarthy was there for the big red bench and got post-match reaction from the Cork camp. So you'll hear first from Sean Powter and then from Cork boss John Cleary.
Sean, that was entertaining. What did you make of that?
I just talked to Finn Brennan and he told me it was a very entertaining game of football, but playing it was a very, very tiring game of football, but a very high scoring game, and thankfully we got a result to finish top 4, I think. Yeah. So we're kind of nearly guaranteed Sam Maguire football now, so which is kind of the aim at the start.
What did you make of the game in general?
We kind of didn't know what to expect from Armagh coming down because they're already kind of promoted and we didn't know where they're going to rest a few, but thankfully they put out their strongest team and we put out our strongest team. It was just a good game of football for everyone involved.
Have you timed your run perfectly, Sean, or is it not by design?
I don't think that was by design at all, but I think we're building very nicely. We felt like we put our kind of selves into a kind of box at the start, losing the first 3 games, and we had to come out fighting, and thankfully we did this time around, and we're kind of going with confidence into the championship. But we know, like last year, we got caught to Clare up in Ennis, so we're going to be very cautious this time around again.
With consistency too, as well as confidence. So consistency is not something we always associate with.
No. Definitely not, but I also think we got a bit of luck along the way as well, like Morris's last minute goal up in Fermanagh a couple of years ago, that would have went up then Fermanagh would have scored and we would have lost four in the bounce. But like, that's, I think with confidence you kind of see players kind of expressing themselves, and you could see in the last 15 minutes there that our fellas just went and played football, like, which is kind of not associated with Cork football, if that makes sense.
What difference would it make, the fact that last year you took care of relegation, so you could take care of championship stages? What can that do collectively? A lightened load, shall we say, going forward?
I just think like, with us and Cork football especially, we kind of put ourselves into positions we don't want to be in, and we as a group and under John Cleary tried to redeem Cork football. And last year we kind of felt we took it one step, and then started to see we took kind of two or three steps back, and we just kind of wanted to get back on track for after the Fermanagh game, and thankfully we did. And now we're going into championship with an eye on Limerick, and then possibly, hopefully, an eye on Kerry in Killarney with a free shot, but a go at them.
Sean, was the Portugal trip well timed in terms of, it just seems like there was an extra bounce in the step of the players, that they just seem to be that bit more confident coming over, or was it really too much into it?
We got a lot of work done over there. There was kind of 4 days of hard training, video analysis. Something I think only Maguire was on the last trip, and all of us was kind of, were new to the experience of a training camp abroad, but the weather wasn't so kind to us, but it felt like home. But it did definitely bring us together as a team, and kind of helped us bond per se. But we definitely worked on tactics and stuff, and thankfully we're kind of building game on game now.
How easy is it as players to shut out the negativity? Because there's a swirl and a cloud of it over Cork, no matter what you do. I mean, is it just keep everything in the dressing room and do our own thing?
It is very hard. Especially, thankfully, I live up in Limerick at the moment, so I can kind of drive away up the road and no one knows Cork football. But I know from being here, when we got relegated before, just you're kind of going out for coffee and there's people saying, geez, what happened to you at the weekend? Geez, you were bad, kind of thing. And that does kind of niggle at you. It does kind of chip away at you, but it depends how you kind of spin it in your own head. You can go, geez, I'm going to show them, or you could go, maybe they're right. And I think we as a group kind of wanted to give the middle finger to everyone who kind of doubted us, and thankfully we're doing that slowly.
Last one for me. This time last year, we weren't in that much of a different situation coming over the league, and then even John alluded to it there, a clear sucker punch to Cork and caught Cork off guard. I assume that's going to be in the back of people's minds and will drive you for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, like, Cleary now in the dressing room made that, reiterated that point. He was like, it was a good end to the league, but it's championship now and we have to get our bodies right for a massive test with Limerick coming down the road. And I think he again wants to reiterate the point that we want to make Parky Greave a fortress and hard for teams to come here, and thankfully we're kind of making that slowly.
Sean, you mentioned there about, you know, you're trying to, I suppose, bring on Cork football, the pressures. What's it like, you know, to have that pressure? You know, you probably didn't expect that pressure. You know, you're taking on something, I suppose, that footballers aren't meant to take on. You're trying to save a footballing county, if you will. What's that like? What's that pressure like?
To be honest, you kind of don't really think about it too much. Like, you kind of, with Cork football, you only have your family and I'd say 300 plus Cork supporters who'll go to Fermanagh with you, who'll go everywhere with you, and they're the kind of people you're doing it for, your family, your friends, and those kind of pure Cork football. And like, when we play Kerry, the Dublins, the Cork people will come out then, but like, when we were in Division 3 and 4, Division 3, they were the kind of people you wanted to do it for, who support you in the dark times, if that makes sense.
It does.
John, was that for Manning game a turning point, or was that too tonight? So, considering, you know, the overnight tonight before, the fact that the wind and won't on the pitch after the 3 defeats, it seems like a very significant thing back in sliding horse.
Yeah, like, if we didn't get that result, I'd say we could be having a different conversation here now. But thankfully, Morris popped up with a score, and it definitely was a point in our season where we were like, okay, it's time to push on now and push on for the last 3 league games, and thankfully we did.
John, the performance, was that everything you've been looking for over the last couple of weeks and building towards?
I suppose it was. Yeah. Look, in the on the first half, you know, Armagh ran at us, and I don't think they had any worry. The first half they played exceptionally well, and they taught us a lesson really on breaking, and you know, they hit us on the break, and we were clinging on there, you know what I mean, and probably maybe a small bit lucky just to go in, just a goal down at half time. They scored 1-9, which was particularly high scoring for inter-county game. We got 9 points. And then in the second half, no, in fairness, I thought we threw off the shackles at times, and you know, some of our defending and attacking was excellent. Yeah, and I suppose, look, probably the only disappointing thing is that we didn't hold out there for a win. But look, I think probably a draw and a win, there wasn't an awful lot of difference. If you'd given me a draw this morning, we'd have bit the hand off for it, you know what I mean, to put us in the position we are in the league. So overall, look, we'd have to be pleased. An awful lot of lessons again. When you're playing the top teams, you really learn every day you go out, and you know, probably where Armagh have got to, that's where we're aiming to try and get to. And but it's not easy. We'd have burst every sinew there, and like, still we couldn't get over the line and get a win. But overall, look, I have to be happy with the display and the way the lads performed there, particularly in the second half. We were against the wind the second half. There was a sizeable wind, and you know, the lads just went at it, and we never, I wouldn't say never give up, but because we were ahead. But you know, it was very pleasing the second half. It was
7 out of 8 points. When you look back in the Cavan and Loud games and all, how you spoke about after that game, that there were games you could have, Cork could have won. But taking 7 out of 8, is this the kind of momentum you need now going to the Limerick game?
Ashton, without a doubt, yeah. As you know, after the Cavan game, we had backed ourselves into a corner, and it was a case of try, could we get out of it? And fairness, the only place you get out of it is on the training field, and try, and you know, and the lads' heads never dropped. Every time we went in after the first couple of defeats, you know, we had realised we had made mistakes, and if we could fix them, it would put us in an upward trajectory. And look, maybe we got a bit of luck in Fermanagh that we didn't get in Cavan. So look, the last 3 or 4 games we would have to be happy with. And I suppose, look, that's done and dusted now, and we park it, and we'll be down here in 2 weeks' time now playing Limerick. That's all that matters now at this stage.
John, I suppose Killian came on and came off. What's the story there?
Yeah, hamstring, unfortunately. You know, he's no look, really. You know what I mean? He missed 3 or 4 months, and he was kind of getting back into it the last day and today. And we'll know tomorrow, maybe, or do a scan, see what's the extent of it.
I suppose in the last couple of minutes there of extra time, of added time, the players didn't really go forward. It seemed they were just waiting for that last opportunity. Was there kind of a collective realisation that a draw was, that we were happy with a draw, or was it just waiting for the last opportunity, you know?
Well, there was a bit of both. We realised the draw was going to put us into either probably fourth, and you know, if a loss was sixth, so a win was third, so there was very little difference. And we spoke about it before, there was very little between third and fourth for us, and a win, and like, the worst thing we could have done is given the ball away there in the end, and they got a point, and we'd be here in sixth, and we wouldn't know whether we're in the San Maguire or not for another 4 or 5 weeks, and it would have been very deflating. So basically it was a case of what we have, we hold, and have a shot at it, which we did. And look, it just by the post, so it was deliberate, yeah,
I suppose. And look, from your point of view, maybe it's different, but it was an entertaining game of football. It was a very good quality game of football, which I think was probably the best performance of the year so far.
Possibly, you know, when you're on the line there, you don't realise. You know, we'd be happy with scoring 216, but we wouldn't be happy with conceding 216, you know. And I think that was the first goals that Armagh conceded in the league so far this year. So you know what I mean? That has to be pleasing. And there was times that we made them look ordinary, the same as they did with us. And but as I said, look, that's the level we want to be trying to play at all the time. At the start of the league, we weren't at that level, but we kept at it. And you know, it gives us a bounce going into the championship now, and hopefully we can perform well in the championship in 2 weeks' time.
John, some people kind of struggle to see the logic of a team conceding a kick-out. 2 goals he scored in the second half, it must be exactly what you wanted to happen, you know, that kind of high turnover and break quickly.
Yeah, it's something we are good at, and at times there, when we did attack, it's fellas are probably out on their feet, and you know, when the ball went wide, it's not easy to get up and have a full press at times, you know. But I think they got most of their scores from their own kick out the first half, which was we try to rectify that, but the game we try and play is high press when we can, after, you know, if we were free or when we can get up there. But teams like Armagh, there, the top teams could pick you off very quickly at the back, and we just tried to make sure we were a bit more solid at the back with that, you know.
Ahead of Limerick, what's the big thing for you now over the next 2 weeks that you want to nail and get right before you take the pitch?
It would, you know, there's always a huge difference between league and championship. We would have found last year there. We did reasonably okay in the league, and then we went in against Clare in the championship and we got caught with a sucker punch. So basically what we want to try and do this year now is realise the league is parked now, forget about it. And, you know, when we come back to training during the week, that it's championship. And normally then when you come to championship, the grounds are faster, the ball is moving quicker. And what we need to try and do is learn the lessons from the league here, and none more so than tonight. We got a lesson at times from Armagh, and try and put that into place. But the championship is a new competition there and takes on a life of its own. And I know say Limerick were relegated, but look, that won't matter to them the next day. You know, they'll come down here and give it one right good shot. So the big thing there is we just park this, learn from it, and drive ahead for 2 weeks' time.
I suppose you must have been happy with the good spread of scores as well.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I don't even know what the, you know, it's something we'll look at back on later, you know what I mean? When I see the scores, I don't really... I don't take any notice of who's scoring them or anything like that. So, look, if it is, you know, that's it has to be good, you know, and that's what we will want going forward, yeah.
And we are sticking with Gaelic games until the break, because Lucy Allen of Sarsfields collected her AIB Camogie Club Team of the Year award a few weeks ago in Croke Park. Allen was named at wing forward on the Team of the Year, and the Glanmire woman spoke to Oisín Langan at the ceremony.
Lucy Allen of Sarsfields in Cork, congratulations on making the AIB Camogie Club Player Team of the Year. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's an honour. I guess it's a nice award to get at the end of the season when everything's finished. So yeah, I'm absolutely honoured for my club, especially Sarsfields, with a fantastic year, and to be here representing them is brilliant.
Did you think at the start of the season you'd go on the journey that you ended up going on?
No. Well, no, I think, you know, you go out every year, and our main goal was winning the county. Anything after that, I mean, you don't really factor into the equation until it happens. So, you know, step one was for us to get the county title, and, you know, once we did that, I think we got an extra belief in ourselves. And then going into the Munster Championship, I think we had that experience behind us. And so, yeah, if you'd asked me this time, you know, 12 months ago, would I see myself here, or would I see Sarsfields where we are today? The answer would be no, but absolutely thrilled to be here.
It's strange, I suppose, during the season you don't see these things coming, but then when you take a step away and look back, you then realise how it all happened. And it wasn't just this year, it's a lot of hard work that has gone in over a lot of years from yourselves as players, but also the mentors and people around the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, anyone in Cork will tell you the hardest thing is getting out of the Cork Championship. And we won the county championship in 2019. We're beaten in the first round of Munster. Same again, it took us 4 years to get back to a county championship title again, and then we're beaten again in the first round. So I think all of that experience does come to play once you're back. And it is, you're right, it's a combination of years of work, and we've fantastic people involved down through the club that have participated in that and are a huge part of that. So I have to give mention to everyone that's involved in SARS, but you know, hopefully it's the start of more to come.
Was there a point in the season when you thought to yourself, we're going to do something this year?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, anyone who knows our SARS team, we've been quite young the last few years, and I think every year we've had more people, more girls coming up and getting experience playing at that top level. So I think, you know, we knew it would always come. It was just a case of when it would all come and gel together. And I think that really happened this year. We brought in new management in Tygo Lynch and John Barry 2 years ago, and I think everything really started coming together from that point.
Hurlers and camogie players and footballers and I suppose all athletes, they get greedy once they start winning things. I imagine you and the team are greedy for more now. It'll be tough,
yeah.
But yeah, greedy for more.
Absolutely, and like I said, it's the Cork Championship. You know, step one, getting out of that is a mammoth task in itself, and there's huge quality in the county. So that will be, you know, our priority. Obviously, coming off the back of winning a Munster title, we have an All-Ireland in our sights for next year. But again, it's starting at the Cork, the county level, and that will be our goal for the foreseeable.
And for Sarsfields as a club, it was a great boost, wasn't it? Because they literally sacrificed the pitch, yes, to help save Partick Glenmire. If people don't know what I'm talking about there, there was flooding in the river, and they basically made the pitch a floodplain. And
yep,
they knew by doing that they were going to put it out of commission for, well, Lord knows how long, but they did it, and that's what the community means to Sarsfields and what Sarsfields means to the community.
Yeah, absolutely, and that all happened the week coming up to our county final, so there was, you know, a lot of drama in that, those few days running up to it, but, you know, we were lucky, we were able to train in a neighbouring club, which is fantastic, and we had the boys' senior team had won the previous weekend, so that, you know, definitely gave a boost to the whole community. But yeah, it was an interesting few days in the run-up to that, but, you know, we're obviously grateful for what the club did, and we'll hopefully see the pitch back in action at some stage.
Hopefully. Was that an extra motivation to kind of win the AIB Munster Club Championship because of what you'd been through as a club? And it wasn't just the pitch, obviously you had lost some legends as well.
Yeah, absolutely, there was, you know, an awful lot happened this year for Sarahs as a club, and I think it's when you're finished the year and you sit down and look back and reflect on it, you kind of appreciate all of that, and again, like, to call out, I suppose, what we didn't have to go through, any of the damage. There was families and houses that were ruined, so, you know, we're not saying that the win did anything for them, but for a community it was brilliant to go that step, and do it as a double with the boys was phenomenal for the club.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A great achievement for the club, and a great achievement for you to be here tonight to collect your award. You're part of the AIB Camogie Club Team of the Year for 2023. What does that mean to you?
It's you know, it's fantastic. I've my family here tonight, and I suppose it's something you don't think about when you're playing during the year. Even when you finish the year, it's not something on anyone's radar, I don't think. So to get the message and to find out that I've been awarded is brilliant. And, you know, I think it's a testament to my own club, and I'm proudly representing them tonight. And hopefully, you know, in the future we'll see a few more Sarsfields players on this.
I've no doubt we will. Lucy Allen of Sarsfields, congratulations. Enjoy the night.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
You are very welcome back to the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7 o'clock. A quick update for you on that Super League playoff game between UC Demons and Belfast Star. Demons have made a huge push right at the end of that game and managed to steal a win. The final score was 113 points to 111. So congratulations to Demons on that result. It's also full time in the WSL game between West Ham and Chelsea, where Chelsea have taken a 2-0 win. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the final game of the day in the WSL will see Aston Villa play Arsenal, and that's from 7:30. Now we've got one more bit of Gaelic games to bring you on this evening's show before we move on. The Cork v Armagh game was not the only clash hosted at Super Friday Parky Cueve yesterday. Limerick and Kilkenny also faced each other in the Allianz Hurling League semi-final, with Kilkenny taking the win in the end. The final score was Kilkenny 3-17 to Limerick's 1-15. And off the balls, Tommy Rooney was there to get all the post-match reaction. You'll hear first from Kilkenny boss Derek Ling and then from Limerick manager John Kiley.
Derek Ling, congratulations. That was a fine performance today from Kilkenny. You're into the league final.
Yeah, Tommy, it was a good performance over the 70 minutes. Obviously, we didn't get a good start but I thought we got back into it pretty well then. Our response was good, and that was important. And I think for the majority of the game, I thought we were probably the better team. And but look, we'll take a lot of positives from it. We saw a lot of players again today, and but we know that, you know, there's a lot of work still to be done, and we know that when it comes to championship, the pace will be a lot hotter. So look, a lot of positives take out of it, but we know we've work to do still.
Yeah, Limerick raced into a 1-2 no score lead, and you weren't on the scoreboard for 8 minutes. Do you get worried at that stage, because your boy snapped into it 4 minutes time, you've got 2-3?
Yeah, and that can happen in hurling, and it can change pretty quick, you know. And I think, look at being at that stage, it does cross your mind, and you knew we needed a score or two to just settle us down a little bit. And I think we won it free and got into the game, and then Owen obviously was an important goal, because I suppose, you know, you feed off that, the team feeds off that, and there was good energy about us after. So the response is good, and look, that can happen. That can happen. And it was just positive the way we responded, I think. And you know, we'll take a lot from that.
I think Owen Cody's first goal, brilliant ball in from Jordan Malloy, and then TJ Berry's a fine ball in from Paddy Deegan. Was that something he targeted? Obviously Sean Finn is back for the first time in 10 months, and some of the Limerick lads were possibly a little short on sharpness today. Did you target the full back line?
Well, necessarily. I think, look, we're obviously, it's very hard to defend a good ball in, as we found out as well from their scores. So I think, look, all the time you're trying to feed decent ball into the forwards, give them the best opportunity, but at the same time forwards need to be able to win that hard ball, and it's always going to be the ball you want. And so look, you know, it was positive we created those chances today, and I thought, you know, we had one or two others that if we had been a little bit sharper we could have possibly got one or two more. But look, you'd hope as the year goes on we need to keep creating them chances and take them.
What were you most pleased with today? Was it the hunger? Was it the kind of the way that you attacked the game?
The way we attacked it, I think the way we responded as well. I think the hunger was there. It was definitely, look, they're an ambitious group and they want to drive on. And at the same time, we know that, you know, it's still early in the year and we have to keep our heads down. We have to keep working hard for each other. And as a group, we need to get better as a team as well. And I think as the league has gone on, I think, you know, I thought we were much better last week in tough conditions. I thought today we were better again. But it's important that we keep progressing. I think that's really... that's going to be really key for us now.
Well done, Derek. Best luck in the league final.
Thanks very much.
John Kiely, an 8-point defeat today for Limerick. Can I get your reaction to that, please?
Yeah, we're very disappointed. Disappointed with our performance, first and foremost, because, you know, when the challenge came to us, we didn't respond. And, you know, if you don't respond to a challenge that's brought to you by Kilkenny, you know, you're going to be left in a position where, okay, we're beaten by 8 points on the scoreboard, but I think it was more like 16 points in reality. I think anybody who was here at the game will tell you that, you know, Kilkenny were streets ahead of Limerick today, and, you know, that's very disappointing, and it's a major wake-up call for us, to be quite honest with you. You know, we came to win the match today. We wanted to be in the league final. That was part of our plans in our preparations for the championship, so it's very, very disappointing. And as I said, it's a major, major wake-up call for our group to be beaten in the manner which we were beaten today.
What do you think went wrong? Because 8 minutes into the game, you're 1-2 no score up. Colin O'Neill put you 1-2 no score up. Galana buried that early goal. You did start well and you were on top.
We started well. We created space. We won good ball. There was energy about us. You know, first 5, 6, 7 minutes, we were 1-2 no score up, I think it was. And, you know, whilst we conceded 3 goals, we should probably have conceded 5 or 6, being honest, right? And was that a problem in our full back line? No. Way out the field, it was determined by the quality of ball that was being sent into their inside forwards. And, you know, when you're not working hard enough, when you're not putting pressure on the ball, of course the quality of the ball at this level is going to be, you know, fantastic going into the inside forwards. And they're going to have goal chances presented to them, so that's what happened. We didn't work hard enough out the field. The quality of the ball going into our to our full back line and the opposition full forward line was of a very high quality, and you pay the price, as simple as that.
What's the conversation at half time? Because you are 6 down, you come out at the start of the second half, you get 2 points either side of Owen Cody's right card. You did threaten a comeback briefly. What was the conversation like at half time with the group?
Yeah, like, we would have thought that the lead was something very manageable, you know, something that we could go after. We were looking forward to going after it, and, you know, we would have felt that, you know, we could eat into it. We did bring it to 3 points, 2 points, you know, and could have pushed on. But I think, again, you know, when the challenge came from Kilkenny in the second half, we just didn't respond to that challenge, and the broken nature of the game didn't lend itself for us to go after it. And that's all I can say, really. You know, we were very poor.
A lot of the bodies today probably haven't played consistently throughout the league. Sean Finn obviously back after 10 months, which is a huge boost. Getting minutes into the lads is probably important today. Some of the boys that haven't played, I suppose, a lot of 70 minutes so far.
Yeah, Sean Finn is a big plus for us to get back and get a full game into him. Really, really happy with how it went for him, even though he would have thought, you know, it was literally like being in a fire, I'm sure, inside there with the quality ball that was coming into them. But, you know, for him to be exposed to that is a real positive for him, and you know that's a baseline for Sean now. I know he's going to be better next weekend, he's going to be better the weekend after and better the weekend after. You know, he will build incrementally each week now, so it's a big plus for him to have that game, as disappointed as he will be with the overall performance of the team and the result of the game. You know, that's something that we can take from today as being a big plus.
The court settled the Kyle Hayes case during the week, a 2-year suspended sentence. He's injured at the moment. Can I get a response to, I suppose, the story this week?
Well, I suppose first and foremost, it's important for me to say that, you know, for us as a team and for everyone associated with Limerick GAA, you know, we in no way condone violence of any description in any setting whatsoever. Quite the contrary, we condemn it. I suppose we're waiting for 4 years for this matter to be dealt with. It's been dealt with now by the courts, and we're glad that it's been brought to a conclusion, and we're looking to push on now.
Is it something you've addressed as a group together?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Aidan Taggy Fogarty was also on hand to give his analysis on what Kilkenny have got from the league and what Limerick need to find over the next few weeks.
Taggy Fogarty, Kilkenny have beaten Limerick by 8 points. Fairly comprehensive win in the league semi-final.
Yeah, look, I don't think anybody would have seen that result coming, to be fair, in the semi-final, and especially the way Limerick were going. Kilkenny were very impressive today. You know, I suppose before the game, you were thinking, right, how are we going to beat Limerick? Have Kilkenny improved? By the looks of today, we have improved. Do you know, we got a tactic here, we got it right, you know. Limerick, I thought myself, were very flat. Looked actually a little bit disinterested, I thought, in the last 10 minutes. So you'd wonder what kind of block of work they'd done during the week. But that's no discredit to Kilkenny. They outfought him. Tackle did got it right. They isolated Sean Finn, who was only back from the ACL 10 months. He got 3 goals, you know, from a long ball to the square. And unusually, because usually Limerick has zonal mark, they left him isolated. And Kilkenny got big results from that, you know. And outworked him in the end. And, you know, it just looked a bit lethargic. The game itself was okay, decent, but kind of petered out towards the end.
What were those tactics that Kilkenny got so right today?
Yeah, well, sure, I suppose, as I spoke, isolating obviously the full back, TJ and Owen Cody, they were switching in, switching out. Sean Finn hasn't got a whole lot of hurling. Costello's relatively new to the setup, so isolating them two guys and hitting the balls to the square to score 3 goals off that. What I was really impressed with actually was when Kilkenny went down to 14 men, they didn't panic, they were a bit more composed on the ball, played through the lines. And, you know, didn't give the possession away stupidly enough to just, you know, the spare man. And really kind of kept Limerick at arm's length. And, you know, James Owens gave a few frees, kept Kilkenny in the game, you know, at times. TJ scored 6 in the frees in the second half. Really just kept Limerick at arm's length. And
they outscored them with a man less, 6-5 at that point. So just when you thought Limerick might have mounted a bit of a comeback, Kilkenny were just able to quash it.
That's it. And that was the fear at half-time, Tommy, was the comeback. You know, the purple patch. This Limerick team, they're famed for the third quarter. Where are they going to come at? You know, all guns blazing. That just didn't happen. They came out, you know, did relatively well. Donal O'Doyle got the ball, got a pint. Peter Casey got a pint. But after that, Kilkenny kind of dominated again. And as I said, once Peter Casey was sent off then, 50 minutes ago, game just petered out and Limerick looked a bit disinterested. But all credit for Kilkenny. Kilkenny were hungry. And I think psychologically for Kilkenny, that was a big result.
Yeah. The last three big games between these two have been the league final last year and 2 All-Ireland finals. So you mentioned psychologically, it was going to be important. What has Derek Ling discovered in this league campaign? Who has stood up for him that perhaps hadn't before?
Yeah, look, I think the big find is Shane Murphy. I think he's played most league games. He's played wing back, he's put back corner back. Mikey Butler was out. Hell, he's on it there today. And I suppose these are the games where he need lads to be tested. Jordan Ryan midfield hasn't played a whole lot either. He was due to man mark Keane Lynch. Keane Lynch was taken off. And that's what he talked about. Was nullifying the big players, Dermot Burns, Keane Lynch, Will O'Donoghue, just bringing them down a peg or two, you know, not to let them dominate the game. And that's what they've done. And I think Derek has really found one or two players going into the championship. And as well as that, the short ball, the possession game, you know, tactically a bit more astute, I think.
Personally, you won't be worried about them, but as an analyst, would you be worried about Limerick, given what we saw today?
No, look, I don't think so. Look, maybe they had a block of training. Maybe they learned from last year. You know, the three worst games that Limerick played last year were the first three games of the Munster Championship after winning the league final. Joe Waterford should have beat him last year in the first round. Tipperary drew them in the third round and Clare beat him in the second round. So, like, maybe, I don't believe teams train not to win games, but it's a way to prepare for the game mentally, and I suppose maybe the block of training during the week, you wouldn't know what they've done. So you'd wonder maybe was that in the back of management's team, And maybe just Limerick just kind of saying, look, it's bigger things ahead.
Did you ever have a season in Kilkenny when you were in pursuit of All-Ireland after All-Ireland, where maybe you felt a bit jaded early on or early in the year, and you know, you didn't need a league final, you didn't need to go hard in the league?
Yeah, like 2012 springs to mind straight away. You know, Galway-Cahas and Leinster final, we were picking up injuries, picking up knocks, you know, media, even though I'm in the media now, you know, we're kind of going, is this Kilkenny team finished? And we just couldn't get momentum going, you know, it was just so hard, you know. And then there was teams coming in 2009. I remember going for the four in a row, Tip were coming, you know, and Tip is in the league final. And not as if we took our eye off the ball or anything, but we're just a small bit lethargic. But psychologically, we were kind of saying, right, Tip are coming on a good team. So maybe Limerick are thinking now, right, well, look, we can be beaten when we're off. And when we're down that 1% and the other team are at 100%, that's the 3 or 4% that's needed to beat us.
Yeah, John Kiley was certainly saying that it's a wake-up call for this Limerick team. You wouldn't have thought they would have needed it, but what would you have learned? Like, what was it that changed your seasons when maybe it wasn't clicking for you early on?
Well, the big thing, I think, is training and in-house. And I think Limerick have that, to be fair. No, they really do. Look, today is a blip. Today, in one sense, maybe could be the kick up the arse. Maybe they kind of need it. You know, in the first 5 minutes, to go 1-2 up to no score, they look to be coasting. They look as if the players themselves thought this was going to be a foregone conclusion. So maybe it's no harm just to say, right, lads, when we're not right, we can be beaten. Now, I think the panel themselves, they're feeding off each other. Do you know what I mean? Like the Adam English are coming in playing really well, Donal O'Dolly. So that's putting pressure on the starter players. So the intensity in training really going to build up. And I think now they have a whip. Kylie has a whip to whip them with now for training. So like it's all good. I think it's good for Limerick in another sense.
Do you think the likes of Brian Cody or John Kiley like being in that position when they can go at the lads, you know?
I think sometimes they do. Look, the league is not the be-all, end-all. It never was, especially with the structure it is now. It's not the same kind of presence. When the league, maybe 10 years ago, you know, there was something to it, but now it's all preparation for championship. So I think definitely Kiley and his backroom team will be maybe just a wry smile at lads going back into training. And, you know, that kind of complacency going back in, that's the word, complacency. That'll be gone, I'd say, now in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, let's have a chat about the Formula One, shall we? Because how glorious was it to see a bit of a shake-up happening this weekend at the Australian Grand Prix? Two Ferraris and a McLaren on the podium and a brief respite, we assume, from the usual Red Bull Max Verstappen dominance. As I mentioned in the roundup at the top of the show, the Dutch driver was forced to retire after just a handful of laps in Melbourne due to brake failure, which would have been a surprise for the Red Bull team because they've enjoyed a very solid run of reliability in recent years. It was actually the Australian Grand Prix 2 years ago that was the last time Max Verstappen failed to finish a Grand Prix. So that is an incredible reliability record. So I'm sure they won't be too rattled by the issue, and it is something that's very fixable. But nonetheless, it gave us a bit of respite, and it also gave the two Ferrari drivers a chance to shine. And you have to tip your hat to Carlos Sainz in particular, because the man just had his appendix removed barely 2 weeks ago. And at the start of the weekend, he was saying, look, if I don't feel right during free practice, I'm not going to push it. I'll let the rest of the weekend's action go. And then he goes and wins the Grand Prix. Fantastic stuff. And obviously a great bit of self-promotion too, given that he is looking for a seat in 2025. And of course, he was also the only non-Red Bull driver to win a race during the 2023 season. And this win in Australia makes him the only driver other than Max Verstappen to have won any of the last 21 Formula One races. So look, it's obviously very early doors, but Ferrari are now just 4 points behind Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship. So fingers crossed they can carry the momentum of this 1-2 race result onwards through the rest of the season, because that would bode very well for the majority of Formula One fans, I think. And it was a Ferrari 1-2, but it was also a McLaren 3-4. Lando Norris grabbing that final podium spot ahead of hometown hero Oscar Piastri. The Aussie fans were vocal. They weren't happy when Piastri was asked to swap places with Lando Norris, but it was still a very solid result for Oscar, particularly because the other Australian in the race, Daniel Ricciardo, only managed to bring his RB car home in P12. So it was still a good result for the hometown driver. McLaren have looked quietly confident so far this season. I think one of the biggest positives for them to take away from this race weekend in Australia is how far ahead of the two Mercedes they were. Mercedes had an absolutely horrid weekend, culminating in a double DNF and neither driver being particularly happy with their car setup at any stage in the weekend. Ultimately, Lewis Hamilton suffered a DNS due to engine failure. George Russell suffered at the hands of some dodgy driving from Fernando Alonso. But at the end of the day, Mercedes seemed to be utterly confused by the yo-yoing performance of their car, and the lack of any points being taken home this weekend means that they are currently sitting in P4 of the Constructors' Championship with just 26 points, while McLaren are in P3 with 55 points. And to be fair, what looks like a much more consistent car and certainly a happier driver pairing. So it was an interesting weekend, to say the least, and we're grateful to Australia, the Australian Grand Prix, for providing us with a bit of a break. The next race weekend is in Japan from April 5th to 7th, so let's see if we can get another exciting display in Suzuka. In the meantime, we are going to look at the Women's Six Nations now, because this weekend is the first round of the 2024 Championship, and Ireland's first game was a big challenge. They travelled away to face a powerhouse French team. The final score was France 38, Ireland 17, but the Irish girls put in a huge shift and managed to minimise France's dominance by frustrating them into making handling errors, and also, it has to be said, with a heroic defensive performance in the face of what was some very impressive French attacking flair. And Ireland's next game will be at home against Italy at the RDS on Sunday, March 31st, I should say. And one of the fantastic things about this year's championship is that every single game is being broadcast live on Irish television across RTE and Virgin Media, exactly like the men's tournament. And we also have the added treat here in Cork of hosting the women's third round game against Wales. That's going to be at Virgin Media Park on Saturday, April 13th at 4:45 p.m. There are still tickets available, so if you are able to, make sure to get yourself down to Virgin Media Park and show your support for the girls. But before the championship got underway, I had the chance to speak with Tipperary native and Irish forward Dorothy Ball. And she spoke to me about her own personal rugby career, but also how the Irish team were building for a new era with their new coach, Scott Beament.
Obviously, last year was a tough campaign, but there was a lot of discussion around the fact that it's a young squad that's building for the future. And the team did finish off the year 2023 in the end with 3 wins on the bounce in October. How has what kind of, from your perspective, were the building blocks that kind of happened in the middle that helped to get that momentum going? Obviously, you had the new coach, Scott Beament, come in as well.
Yeah, that's the main difference.
Mm-hmm.
New coach, new strategy, new system, whole new area of learning and expertise that he's bringing in. I have such an appreciation for things that I didn't really know the dimension of before, like the purpose of the kicking game, how important it is, you know, kick, sprint, win the half, all these kind of micro details, micro skills that don't take, you know, much brain capacity, but it's just an effort and a trigger thing to know when to do them, and they make such a difference to our game. So he's bringing like a whole new dimension of rugby and our understanding of it, and trying to heighten that, you know, every time we are on the pitch or every time we're doing analysis. So it's great. Like, it's exciting. It's the system we can all buy into, and you know, he's a decent guy, family man, good coach, professional, and impressed with him.
That's great here. Yeah, I imagine it's had a really positive impact as far as, you know, the whole unit as well, the coaches and the team. As you said, something you can buy into. How is the unit feeling at the moment, you know, amongst the players at least?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're always split up with our girls in Prem, and in Ireland we're all in Celtic Cup and stuff, but that's something we've worked on. We have a leadership group, or a performance group, that kind of keeps things intact, and there's constant updates and group chats and stuff, so the connectivity is a lot better, so it's great. You kind of know what the girls overseas are at, they know what we're doing more, we're watching their games, they're watching ours. It's just kind of made more accessible. There's more chat throughout the year rather than when we just come back together. So it's good.
Yeah, that sounds like a really positive. I mean, it's a no-brainer, I suppose, in a sense, but you know, someone has to start it off, which is it's great that you have that going. Obviously, the Women's Six Nations isn't starting until March. What do you know so far about how the preparations and everything like that are going to look like?
Yeah, we're playing Celtic Cup for another few rounds anyway, and then we'll be into camp, and that'll be it. We'll be in camp for 2 months, training, staying in hotel, training, play. It's kind of the same kind of cycle every year. So you kind of block off the Six Nations as its own entity in the year, but my favourite competition. It's a great level of rugby. You've got all the best athletes in the country and Irish athletes overseas, and it's great to play at that level. And with the system Scott kind of implemented, Dubai, you know, we beat two teams by a lot of points, and I don't really know if you can use that as a complete way to rate yourself. It was obviously great for our confidence and stuff. Spain was a tighter game again. We kind of saw more things we needed to work on. So it'll be a good test of where we are, and it's definitely kind of don't take the foot off the brake between Dubai and Six Nations. So that's kind of what we're all remembering.
For sure, yeah. It sounds like a really positive stepping stone, as you said, even just on the confidence level. We've kind of mentioned a couple of domestic competitions. How do you feel things are looking at the moment in terms of building a strong pipeline for women's rugby in Ireland? Because we've obviously got a couple of different options and pathways for folks now as well. And there's proper under 18 and under 20 pathways coming into place in the international stage as well.
Yeah, it's great to see, you know, the Irish 20s in their second year, the girls. I know that there's like incredible people in all the different clubs at grassroots level who are literally driving the thing themselves. I know my own club, Polly Murphy, was huge in everything she did for the girls in Feathered. And it's people like that that are kind of the most for grassroots rugby. Like, it's obviously funding, whatever, etc. But if you have someone like that in every small club who can continue to drive it and get people to work with them, I think that's kind of a huge part of it as well. I have to say, I don't know all of the intricacies of the domestic game and what's happening at the moment. I know with Celtic Cup, they've lost a lot of numbers in the AIL. So it's kind of hard to manage both due to kind of, I suppose, the small enough pool of women that are playing when you've got this many teams. So I think the clubs are under a bit of pressure. Celtic Cup is at the moment Munster, Connacht, a few girls from Leinster and Ulster as well. I'm on the Clovers, which is that Munster, Connacht kind of team. And then Leinster, Ulster is the Wolfhounds. So we're kind of the two teams in Ireland that are competing with the Welsh and Scottish side. So played three rounds of that so far. So it's good to get rugby in every week. We haven't had that many sessions together. Dennis Fogarty is our head coach at the moment, and he's great. So there's a lot of people learning a lot. It's just good to get games on the go.
Definitely being exposed, as you say, on such a regular basis to that level, I imagine is going to be really helpful over definitely a longer period of time for sure for the whole team. We had the announcement earlier this week that there is going to be a Women's Lions tour to New Zealand in 2027. Did you pay much attention to that? Did you get any bit excited? What are the thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's an unreal stepping stone for women's rugby, I suppose. Over, like, since I've been involved, it always, every year there seems to be an article about a Lions women's team. So it's good to see that it's actually happening. I suppose, no, it's great to see happening. I suppose it's not within my immediate goals or whatever, because we have a lot of rugby to play, a lot of things to qualify before then. So 27 seems a good while away, but I'm glad it's on the horizon for everyone playing rugby.
For sure. Really exciting times ahead, I think, at all levels of the game. Yeah. As you said, if we could get that grassroots pipeline even stronger, that would be fantastic. Dorothy, thanks so much for taking the time out to chat to me on Corkshire FM. Okay. And we're wishing you the very best luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Sarah.
That is everything I have time for this evening, folks. Thank you as always for tuning in. It has been Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you on Sunday's edition of the Big Red Bench. If you missed anything from the show or want to listen back, the podcast will be available shortly after I'm off air from wherever you get your podcasts. But enjoy the rest of your Sunday and stay tuned for Green on Red up next.